It's got a death curse.
So all of you will be like me. And then blow up you up in the sewer!
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
Reviewed, I have not been a fan of, but I really like this one.
I'm going to start a little fire under your chair and roast your nuts.
The problem with Christian Slater is how he was written, though. He was so middle of the road, they didn't know, I don't think they knew what to do with him.
The cat killed them. I warned them, but they wouldn't listen. They found out.
I would listen to William Hickey fucking read the phone book for hours on end. Yeah. So to sit there and have him tell the tale of how this cat came to do away with his friends and family, you know, was great.
Help me!
I did not kill him! I did not!
This is bullshit!
Bullshit!
Oh, God.
Oh, hi, Ma!
You broke your promise, you idiot! I love you!
She has to transform and go back to the sealed creature, and she's also so fucking disappointed in him.
She broke your vow, and that sealed our destiny.
You done fucked up, boy!
Yeah.
You done fucked up.
I like how little as he is, keep secrets from your wife.
You will stumble.
Because they are semi-liquid and violate the laws of physics.
Yes.
They can transubstantiate in front of you at any given fucking moment.
Thank you.
Hey, you little motherfucker! Nobody hits me twice! No fucking body hits me twice!
And it's got the heart, it's got the effort, it's got the talent. It was definitely worth a Creepshow 3.
Can't you see? We're gonna jump up to 3. You mean that much to me? Can't you see?
This is Cash Wampum from the Horror 101 Show, welcoming you back to the final threequel show of the year. Now, this was just a stupid idea that I had last year. I threw it out there. The crew seemed to like the idea, so we went with it. And you know what? It's been successful. We've had a lot of fun with all these part threes. And what's even better is that you guys listening have been enjoying this as well, so everybody's happy. Before we got started, when we recorded this session, we had a chance to reminisce on the other part threes that we covered, just to go back, see which ones were our favorites.
I'd have to say, of all the part threes that we did, the one I revere the most is probably Exorcist 3.
Yeah.
Probably Exorcist 3. So, From Dusk Till Dawn is your favorite one of the threequels that we've done so far?
Because it was the biggest surprise. I didn't know what to expect from it, and I was surprised. I was shocked.
Right, because you hadn't seen it, right?
Because it was both parts a good Western and a good horror. And the blood effects and the
you
violence.
You just love the Ambrose Bierce thing.
Okay, yes. And it has one of my all-time historic heroes. It's so, an action badass.
So. I picked Exorcist 3. Paul B., what was your favorite threequel that you sat in on?
That I sat in on?
Yeah.
Of those two, Happy Army of Darkness.
Army of Darkness. What do you think, Nick?
Did enjoy Exorcist 3.
Exorcist 3, yeah.
But I've done that one, but we did that one before.
Yes.
And
well, we touched on it.
We touched on it, but it's going to say the scene. But I'm still torn between that and Halloween 3.
Halloween 3
is. It would have been Army of Darkness if I was actually fucking here for it.
Halloween 3 is kind of like the low hanging fruit because it was the season and everybody's been asking for it. Yeah. And it's a campy film.
But I'm going to go with Exorcist 3.
Yeah.
I got to change my answer. Halloween 3 because Nick wasn't here. Or Army of Darkness, because Nick was here. That was it.
You son of a... It would have been great had you not fucked up that entire
insult. Plastic next to you. Is that a bag of dicks?
Okay, so...
Because you can eat that.
For our final threequel show, for the final show of 2017... World famous Brian Stewart, cult sensation Nick McPherson, nefarious Paul B., the lovely nude myself, going to be covering John Harrison's Tales from the Dark Side, the movie. Why are we doing this? It's not a part three? It's a great question.
So to end the threequel year, we're going to do something a little bit off-kilter. We're not going to give you a part three. We're going to give you what should have been a part three, which a lot of people with authority in the horror genre would suggest should have been a part three, which is Tales from the Dark Side, the movie.
And I will say it is really the part three, because the real part three we actually got for a creep show, fuck it.
Yeah, and I know we've talked about this before, but I don't think I've ever cut it in. I've never seen the Creepshow 3 that we got, I think, a couple of years ago. I was watching a couple of clips of it today on YouTube, and it just looked bad. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those films where, like, 99% of the internet was like, this is horrible, just don't even bother, don't buy it for a dollar, don't rent it, don't Netflix it, just fucking run away. So I'm like, okay, if 99% of the internet's saying that, usually there's some credence there.
Yeah. I've yet to actually see anybody give it a positive review.
No, it was...
What, this?
No, Creepshow 3.
Creepshow 3.
Oh, Creepshow 3.
Yeah, no, Tales from the Dark Side is great.
Oh, okay.
But Creepshow 3 was I mean, like, I rented... okay. Creepshow... We've had this discussion before. Creepshow 1 is arguably my favorite horror film of all time.
Okay.
Love it.
Above Halloween?
Arguably.
Arguably.
It can change.
If you argue with yourself.
And, and remember, we tried to do Creepshow 2, and you guys were just sour on it.
Well, that's the thing.
The Raft was the only watchable segment.
I couldn't, like, I was fully expecting that to be a show, and it was just so sour in here after the film. I'm like, I ain't doing it. I wasn't in the mood to put together a negative show, and that movie, that the recording we had for Creepshow 2 was bad. So
we've got to do at least one negative show. We got to pick something that we know we're all going to hate, or we just got to shit on it mercilessly. This, you know, it's got to be cathartic.
And speaking of catharsis, many of you listeners had requested certain part threes to be featured this year. Some of you got your wish, while others were disappointed. So before we get balls deep into Tales from the Dark Side, allow us to give you some audio clips of part threes that were considered for this year, but didn't quite make the cut. Here we go.
I bought this house cheap because I thought it would be a good investment once all the panic had been forgotten. Well, it hasn't been forgotten.
I killed my father. My entire bloodline. There is not enough forgiveness in the universe for all I've done.
Is this what your puppets are for? For your temper tantrums? You think I'm afraid of this?
You will be afraid.
All of this is the result of years and years of painstaking research under incomprehensible conditions. How dare you say my work is wrong?
Despite all of the advantages and privileges that you were given at birth, you have returned to prison again and again. More comfortable in chains than you are in freedom.
What did you see? The same as I. Appetite sated, desire indulged. A miniature of the world, and how it will succumb to us.
Slay the Nazarene, and you will know the violent raptures of my father's kingdom.
It's here. You got Clemens.
Stop this, Raby, at once.
I'm telling you. It's here.
Stay here and get that foolish woman back to the infirmary.
After the success of Creepshow, there was an interest in turning the horror anthology to the small screen. But since Warner Brothers owned part of Creepshow, Laurel Entertainment, which was co-founded by George Romero and Richard Rubenstein, decided to branch off and create a show that was very similar to Creepshow in every respect, but they gave it a new name. This was the genesis of Tales from the Dark Side television show.
Let's talk about Tales from the Dark Side, the television show. Do you guys remember that?
Yep.
Late 80s.
Yep.
It was like Channel 20, Channel 50, Saturday night,
the
Saturday
night. Late night.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there were some memorable episodes. I remember there was one episode where there was this girl, I forget what it was called, and she had this curse on her or something like that. Like she couldn't love anybody or something like that. There was just, she knew that something bad was going to happen if she fell in love. And so sure enough, she goes on this date or this whatever. Brings this guy home, and she turns into this fucking beast and tries to kill him at night. And I'm like, holy fuck. Just the way they shot it, when she brought her head up and she looked like this ghoul, fucking freaked me out.
when that started, there was a resurgence of horror in television. It really started with Tales from the Crypt.
Yep.
For HBO.
Yep.
After that, you had Poltergeist Legacy. You had Tales from the Dark Side. You had
Friday the 13th.
That was the first. Well, Tales from the Crypt was the first one, and then Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th, the series.
And then Freddy's Nightmares.
Which Freddy's Nightmares came after.
Came after, but it was the first two were Tales from the Crypt. Yeah, Tales from the Crypt, Twilight Zone, obviously, because they tried bringing that back in a couple times.
Amazing Stories.
Amazing Stories, but the first real horror-themed one was Friday the 13th. Tales from the Crypt and Friday the 13th.
And you had Freddy's Nightmares. There was another one called Monsters.
Yeah, that was the same time.
But there was also Poltergeist, the series.
Yeah.
The show was a success. It regularly had great writing, including that of Romero, King, and Clive Barker. Tom Savini directed one of its most popular episodes. But in 1988... when the show was in fierce competition from a slew of other horror shows, after running four seasons, totaling 90 episodes, they decided to call it quits. And as with many series, after they've exhausted their run on the small screen, there was just one thing left to do with it: bring it to the big screen. And in 1990, with the help of George Romero, Stephen King, KNBFX, and a bunch of other Creepshow alumni, that's precisely what they did.
Stephen King, originator of Pet Sematary. Arthur Conan Doyle, author of Sherlock Holmes. Michael McDowell, creator of Beetlejuice. George Romero, director of Night of the Living Dead. Now, these four masters of everlasting horror bring to the screen four tales of overwhelming terror.
I warned them, but they wouldn't listen.
Come, live the nightmare of your choice. Tales from the Dark Side. The movie.
You know, and we can add it to that pile of rare pile of movies, the episodic movie, right? Like Trick or Treat, or Vincent Price had a couple as well, like Monster Club and Tales of Terror. Yeah.
The anthologies.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, you weigh the movie on whether or not each of the segments is solid, right?
You always say they don't make fun horror movies anymore. I would suggest this one's fun.
It's not Creepshow fun, though. It doesn't get to that point, but it certainly holds your attention. And each segment, I think, would work as a short story by themselves.
What happened to that book I gave you?
What difference does it make? Let me out of here! Help!
What are you doing? Just preheating to 350.
Help! Help! There's a crazy woman in there! She's gonna cook me! She's gonna eat me! Help!
But the only thing, that kind of ham-fisted acting by the lead actress bothered me a bit.
By Debbie Harry.
Yeah, between her and Joey Lawrence there.
Matthew Lawrence.
But the kind of back and forth between them was so kind of silly.
Well, because she's unemotional. She's gonna cook a kid. She doesn't care.
Yeah, she comes across as more silly than menacing.
Yeah. That's the implication.
Well, I mean, she walks in, there's a fucking broomstick leaning up against the wall.
Never said directly, but it's implied.
It's implied. Yeah. She's a witch.
Yeah, she's got to be flat and emotionless.
Yeah.
It's a bit too silly for me. Like, if she was a little more serious, a little more menacing, I would have liked it more. But she came across as way too silly. I don't know.
But see, that's creepy to me.
Right? I don't agree. I agree with Paul saying that it is creepy that way.
Yeah, I don't feel friendly.
Yeah, absolutely.
You get the idea, like, if this was her first time, she'd be a little bit more timid, or maybe try to be more frightening, but not, this is just old hat.
Yeah.
She's going to cook this kid, it's probably not the first one.
Second nature to her.
Like, here's what's going to happen, I'm going to preheat to 350, and even telling him, I'm going to have to eviscerate.
She's got to do her division and figure out the time when to start cooking.
Based on the weight of the kid, I loved how he helped her.
Let's see, how many times does 12 going to 75?
Oh, 6 times, 3 left over. Why?
Well, at 12 minutes a pound, that means you have to be in the oven by no later than 1:30.
Can anybody give me the other 80s horror film that Deborah Harry was in? Off the top of their heads. Don't pick up your phones. I will give you a hint. It's Canadian.
Was she in Black Christmas?
No.
No.
Terror Train? No.
No. 80s.
Oh,
80s. It was 80s. It was in the 80s,
yeah. In 80s? Canadian horror. No, she wasn't in The Changeling, was she?
No.
No, no idea.
Cronenberg.
I was going to say, it was a Cronenberg movie, wasn't it? Yeah.
Well, we mentioned the other three that aren't Cronenberg, and that's all the Canadian horror films.
Cronenberg. She was with James Woods in Videodrome.
Oh, okay. Shit.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, okay.
Long live the new flesh.
Maybe I should get started now.
No, wait. There's plenty of time. You said this was your favorite book. Don't you want to hear a story?
Is it a love story?
Yeah. Well, no, not really. But it's a really good one. You like it a lot.
I like how he's in a predicament,
yeah,
and he's elongating his time by telling the stories out of this book, yeah, which is the film.
Hey, it's about these guys. College. They live in the same dorm. One of them's kind of poor, so he works his way through school, selling things. His name's Bellingham, and he collects antiques. Well, one day, Bellingham got a very special delivery.
Let's go with Lot 249. I probably saw this before I even saw Reservoir Dogs.
Right.
Because Reservoir Dogs was 92.
92.
So yeah. Who the fuck was Steve Buscemi when I watched this film?
You know what? I liked his performance best.
You're not leaving here until you see what's inside Lot 249. That was the deal.
Episode of it. I like the way how he worked on the mummy, the way he cut it open, and he wasn't timid at all. And I believed he was somebody who had done this several times before, who was, you know, an archaeologist or somebody who worked on bodies. I think he sold the characters as a competent, you know, scholar.
Now let's see if the embalmers did him any justice.
Oh, you can unwrap it?
Why not? What are you looking at? It's 3,000 years of dry rot.
He was buying artifacts to resell them, right? So he was basically an art dealer.
Right.
Yeah. Who dealt with
antiquities?
Yes.
What does it say? I have no idea. Do you know how to read Third Kingdom hieroglyphics?
The mummy and everything seems like an afterthought. Like he was planning his revenge. That's why he got the mummy, because he seemed to know that the scroll was going to be up there. A lot of it seemed premeditated. Like this was his plot for revenge all along.
It's possible.
Because he knew from the beginning that he'd been screwed over for that scholarship, because it was mentioned it was like in the day before the paper was announced. So this was all planned. I think this was the only way he knew to get revenge.
Do you know what your brother is doing right now as we speak? Huh? He's unwrapping a mummy with Edward fucking Bellingham. Oh, and then Bellingham casually mentioned that someone dropped an anonymous tip about the stolen pre-Columbian Zuni fetish?
No, he's guessing.
Well, maybe, but I think Andy knows it was you.
Andy's my brother. He won't do anything. And Bellingham's a loser. He can't do anything.
Julianne Moore's first film.
Academy Award winner, Julianne
Moore.
Yes.
Her first movie.
Playing the Seductress.
Was Tales from the Dark Side the movie?
And let me just put it out there, she never fucking ages, ever.
No.
Fucking bugs me.
Grow, O light. Come forth, O light. Rise, O light. Ascend, O light.
Master, can read that scroll.
I will say with the mummy effects, I liked all the dustiness of the mummy. Every time it did a little thing, you see the dust coming off.
A lot of particulates.
Yeah, it was really well done.
I like how it dispatched Billingham's enemies with the old ways.
Yeah.
Grabbing the hook up the nose.
Yeah, as soon as you see the coat hanger, bing, we're like, ooh, we know where this is going. Yep.
I saw the coat hanger and I couldn't help but think Mummy Dearest.
Yeah, you made the dumbass comment.
Joan Crawford?
Yeah.
No wire hangers! Dear God.
I saw who killed Lee. He was thin and filthy and stinking like rotten flowers.
249.
Very few thieves would have the discernment to realize that this was one of the museum's most unusual pieces.
Susan Smith stole that fetish, and she was the one who planted it here.
She was a pretty cool bitch in this one.
She was vicious, though. It was bad enough that she started the rumor about that fetish being stolen just to get him to lose
his position. Yeah.
But then she made a point of going there and planting it and calling them again to get him kicked out of school. Right. That's just fucking vicious.
Why do they hate him so much?
I'm a little busy right now, Andy.
Yes. Mr. Bellingham is packing. He's leaving the university.
What happened to the mummy?
The problem with Christian Slater is how he was written, though. It bothered me that he was so wishy-washy a character. I wasn't sure if he was Steve Buscemi's friend. He was never really pissed off. Yeah. He was so middle of the road, they didn't know. I don't think they knew what to do with him.
He never did have taste. And I don't care how cheap the psychology is, I still hate these stupid chrysanthemums.
And after the funeral, she's like, regarding the
and she
engagement
just
ring,
chucks it down.
He had no taste.
He had no taste anyway, and then chucks it down.
I like when the mummy slashed Julianne Moore's back and stuffed the flowers in her back. I like that. I guess significance and bringing all whatever happened to him, he's doing it to everybody else.
Yeah,
that's something I've never seen in a movie before.
Please, please, somebody help me!
Also, Noon has this thing where she's like just really into violence against Julianne Moore for some reason.
She hates her. She's like, that bitch never ages. Fuck you! Fuck you, Julianne Moore, die!
Well, I'm going to start a little fire under your chair and roast your nuts. Because you killed my sister and my best friend. That's why.
I didn't kill them.
Right, right. Your friend Lot 249 did.
The alleged perpetrator's got an airtight alibi. Been dead for 3,000 years.
But I don't like how quickly he was dispatched. Like, undone by a turkey carver. I mean, that was a little... I mean, he was not tough at all. I mean, he put up more... should have put up more of a fight, I thought. It was pretty easy.
It seemed like it was strong.
He was made up to be strong.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
But he's also 3,000 years old.
Fragile.
Yeah, he is. He's probably going to come apart
rather easily.
Well, that just about takes care of that, doesn't it? Would you untie me, please? Just as soon as you tell me where the scroll is.
It's second drawer in the desk on the right.
One thing I like is, he's like, okay, where's the scroll? And he tries to get him off the path. He's like, you don't need the scroll. It only worked for that mummy. You've destroyed it. It's over. And he's like, okay, give me the scroll or I'll kill you. He's like, fine. It's in that drawer in that desk. So and strange. As he's burning it, he's selling in that chair. He's like, fuck,
that was
man.
My entire career.
Yeah, that's irreplaceable.
And scroll would have made my entire career. All my sister and my best friend died because of this. Killing me won't bring them back. Well, if I let you live, I will bring them back.
Well, Slater didn't have the balls to fucking get his justice.
Yeah,
I mean, he was in the right to take care of Bellingham right there. He should have killed him. But because he didn't, guess what?
Bellingham sends his regards.
I liked that episode or whatever, that segment, the least of all the three.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was my least favorite of the three.
The star power in that's great, though.
I know, it was kind of a wasted... the talent, because of how we know them now, I think them being in that segment was a waste.
It's always fun to go back and watch these first films of this established, award-winning actor/actress, you know,
well,
like Julianne
Moore. It's like
watching
Critters and seeing Billy Zane.
Wait, I want to tell you another story.
Time to put the book away.
But I haven't told you the best story yet. I had to stop reading it twice because it got me so scared. The one about the old man who's so rich and he lives in this big old house all by himself. His name's Drogon. Old man Drogon had this big problem. So he hired this man to help him with his big problem. A very professional man.
So the stories are similar, the effects are similar. This definitely feels to be more in the spirit of a Creature movie.
The Black Cat's my favorite.
Yeah, I think
and that's Stephen King all the way. I'm pretty sure that's a Stephen King story.
I want you to make a hit. That is what you do, I understand.
Who do you want to hit?
Your victim is right behind you.
I ought to kill you for that. I don't like jokes.
I don't make jokes. Sit down. Here. Sit down, Mr. Halston, and look in that envelope.
I love William Hickey in this film. Oh. You said he died when he was 69?
69.
The guy looks like he was 69 back in the 70s.
Yeah, it's wrong. I'm sure he was like 2069. Like, he always looked old.
You know what? I guarantee you, though, like, they're always powdering his hair. Even in this film, he's looking white and gray. He looks like he's dead. He's like John Carradine.
Yeah. You
know what?
He popped out of his mom like Brian Stewart.
50 years old.
50 years old, a cigar.
So we're going to call it Carradine / Hickey syndrome.
Yes.
I don't believe this. You're hiring me to kill a cat?
That cat has killed 3 people in this household. That leaves me.
The rich pharmaceutical guy getting revenge from this cat, this specter cat that's basically the embodiment of 5,000 cats that have died to make this guy rich, has culminated into this black cat specterly
rich and revenge. High.
That looks all about
yeah.
it.
Rich and
Nude's
high.
All about that shit.
Our testing of Tri-Dormal G was confined almost solely to cats because of the unique quality of the feline nervous system.
So how many did you eliminate?
Over 4 years of testing, 5,000 cats.
I would listen to William Hickey fucking read the phone book for hours on end. Yeah. So to sit there and have him tell the tale of how this cat came to do away with his friends and family was great.
Well, he died of emphysema, so that's what you're hearing in that.
That's right.
Yeah. He had a real smoker's voice. You know, it makes me want to go back and watch Nightmare Before Christmas again.
The cat killed them. I warned them, but they wouldn't listen. They found out. My sister was the first to die.
As a cat owner, I know what it's like to be going down the stairs and having a cat cross your fucking path. They just want to rub up against you while you're moving.
Right.
So it can be dangerous. That's if you're a cat owner and you're walking around, especially at night in the dark, you learn to shuffle. Picking up your feet and bringing it down, you come down on a cat, you will stumble.
Because they are semi-liquid and violate the laws of physics.
Yes.
They can transubstantiate in front of you at any given fucking moment.
Thank you.
Yeah. Like, you look around, no cat anywhere. You just go to take one step, and there's a boom. Like,
cat right there.
It's there.
My mother told me once that cats like to get babies and old people when they're asleep and steal their breath.
But the friend there, who was the librarian from Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the Black Cat Attack from Legend of Hell House. Remember how cheesy that looked?
Everybody that's watched this movie, every time I've talked about this movie and we get on this subject, everybody hates that scene.
Starts with it actually putting its paw on
I know. It is so bad. It's an MST almost. It's like some grip hanging off set with a little fake cat paw. Like,
wanted to see it grab a little throw pillow and, you know.
Marilyn died at midnight as well, suffocated in her bed. The coroner said natural causes in her case. But again, I knew.
Who's the guy that played the hitman? What was his name?
David Johansen from the New York, he's a singer, New York Dolls.
Yep.
Okay.
Don't worry, Drogan. I'll kill your cat for you.
Good. Kill it, bury it, and bring me its tail so I can throw it in the fire and watch it burn.
You said you just watched Scrooge, right?
He was the cab driver. Scrooge,
that's right.
You know what? I recognized the butler before I recognized him. The butler was Mark Margolis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For Breaking Bad fans.
Breaking Bad or Oz.
I've actually never seen Oz.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
David Johansen.
The Hitman and the cat.
Yeah.
The Ghost of Christmas Past.
Like Bad Teeth?
Yeah.
Man, that cat put him through the ringer.
Motherfucker! Nobody hits me twice! No fucking body hits me twice!
I do like that scene where he's opening up the case and he's got like the fucking garrote wire,
yeah,
the knives and all the shit. It's like, it's So you're testing all this out for a cat?
Bear in mind, he didn't know that he was coming to assassinate a cat at that point. So he
did. That was afterwards.
Did he have the case with him when he walked in?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So, but he didn't know when he walked in.
Oh,
the door.
No, no. But he told.
I realized that thing. He's like pulling out. And I think he was. Part of me is just like the logistics of how would I fucking use this?
This is the end of you. It's impossible. Fucking impossible. I had a dead beat on you. You son of a bitch. I know you're in here.
The whole movie falls apart at that point because what cat do you know doesn't get fucking
exactly.
Crushed by that fucking
You can literally get the cat to go into where you're shooting.
I thought that's what they were going to do with the whole laser pointer, and then they didn't. I thought they were going to do all these things that cats are known for.
This was back before laser pointers were cool. You just couldn't buy one at the fucking Dollarama in 1990.
Only Hitman had them.
That's right. They paid attention to pretty much every detail. It's got to be weird storyboarding that shit. How, okay, this is never going to be real, but if it was real, how would this play out? What would the body do if a cat was digging through?
Yeah, I know. The funny thing is at first you can see, like, the big arch in the belly when it's moving. Like, you can tell it's standing over here. And then it's almost like you see it do the spin and lay down.
Yeah.
It settles down, yeah.
It's found its comfort point.
Something that could have come across as laughably silly if they didn't pull it off.
It was laughably silly.
But at least it looked good.
I liked very much the fact that the cat seemed to strike at midnight. All the deaths, yes. Again at midnight. When it's the next day, and Drogon rolls in and sees the carnage, he's like, oh my god, the clock starts up. I love the gore that precedes that the cat coming
out. You know what I thought of immediately when I saw that? The Thing. That is very, like, The Thing-ish.
With the blood flying out of the mouth?
With the whole, like, yeah, just it's slowly back out and just looks like the dogs.
Yeah. I thought it looked really good. I was surprised how well they pulled that off. I especially like the way the face stretches and contorts. When its head is emerging, I thought, wow, that looked really cool. I was surprised how much I liked it.
You see the strain on the dummy as it's trying to squeeze out. It's like, like this.
I like convulsing. Yeah, and you see, like, the swollen throat.
Yeah.
The way it's crawling through. I thought, wow, they really pulled that off. And even afterwards, that face looks fucking wrecked.
The way it just chose to jump up on Drogon's lap and just scream at him, like, fuck you.
Shock him to death.
Fuck you, it's your time, whether you like it or not, and he just fumbles with his pills and dies of a heart attack. It's like, my job's done here.
My goodness, that was a scary story. But my favorites were the love stories.
Well, there's one story in that book that's really scary, but it's a love story too. The one that's in New York.
Well, you still have to cook for quite a while, but I'd love to hear the story.
Okay. Well, there's a part of New York that's really busy during the day. And when it's late at night and hardly anyone's around, strange things sometimes happen. And 10 years ago, on a cold, dreary night, an artist named Preston saw something very, very strange.
Time to put it to bed, Preston.
All right. What about Maddox?
Let him out in the morning.
Oh, jeez.
Come on. You're pissed out of your mind. Ooh. I'll take you home.
All right. Okay, guy's down on his luck. He lives in a shitty part of New York. He closes out his favorite bar, and this gargoyle comes out, and for no reason at all, kills this fucking guy.
I like how he draws the gun and then
he's... Well, the thing is, he's armed, covers. So my question is, okay, what led to this?
Where did this thing come from? Was it a statue at some point? Was it resurrected through black magic? Was it raised?
That's it. We need a prequel.
That's it. Well, at first you don't even know that it's a gargoyle. At first you think it could be a werewolf, a vampire. You don't know. All you know is it's something tall, menacing enough to scare this guy, right?
Help me! Help me!
And they rip the guy's head off.
Rip his arm.
Well, rip his arm first. Off first. Or his hand.
Yeah, slice the hand off.
A lot of lacerations in this film. Yeah.
Which looked really good, too. And actually, I thought it knocked his head 180 degrees around almost when it kind of hit his face, because his head swivels at one point.
Well, they made sure to show that effect like two or three times. They were proud of that one. Yeah, they liked that one.
Especially with the speed that it happens. Like, holy shit, the flash went dark.
No, please, please don't.
Your life in exchange for a promise.
You got it.
If I let you go, you must swear you will never see you saw me. Never see you heard me speak. Never tell anyone how I look. Never repeat what I have said. A promise forever.
You gotta be kidding. I promise.
Cross your heart.
I promise.
But seriously, what would be this thing's, like, does it know? Like, is there some sort of prophecy? Okay, if you let a mortal live that has seen you and they promise never to tell someone and they don't, then you get to live as a human and live happily ever
and
after.
And apparently grant wishes, because all of Remar's wishes came true.
Let go of me!
What's the matter with you? It's dangerous down here. What are you trying to do?
Take a taxi!
You don't see any taxis out here, do you? Look, if you want one, you can use the phone from my place. You can call from my place.
Is Radon Chong really Tommy Chong's daughter? Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. And the guy that plays, who's the actor that plays Preston there?
That's James Remar.
It was Dexter's dad.
Dexter's dad and, what was his character in Warriors? Not Swan, leader, one of the leaders of the gang as they're running through New York.
Yeah.
I didn't like the last one so much. It was a bit too hammy. I liked the makeup effects. Like, the blood effects were great, and the gore effects, but it dragged down a bit, and the ending was way too obvious.
I think K&B did a good job.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah. But the ending, it was too obvious for too long a build-up. I mean, we could all see it coming a mile away.
No, did you?
10 years. So many things have changed.
Changed for the better, I hope.
The night I met you, I almost died.
What do you mean?
Well, let's just say it was the night that my life started over again.
That was a bastardization of an old Japanese horror cliche.
Okay.
But instead of a gargoyle, it's supposed to be a ghost.
Okay.
A ghost that gives them the ultimatum, just say nothing of this, and I'll let you live, and then they go on to, and things go well, and then sure enough, they break the promise to the embodiment of the entity that made them promise.
The worst part, after seeing all that trauma, seeing a friend of his get absolutely, like, beheaded and bloodied and, and murdered right in front of him, to not be able to talk about that, it would fester for so long. There'd be no therapeutic release. He would just go nuts. Wouldn't that just drive him mad?
Yeah, but he was drunk, though, that night, remember?
But even still, I mean, he would go mad if you couldn't talk about something that you'd just seen that horrific without therapy or treatment or dealing with it. It would just fester.
That's what killed Jera. Then it turned on me. I knew I was going to die, but it spoke. It spoke. It said to me it wouldn't kill me if I promised never to tell anybody what had happened, what I'd seen. So I never told anybody.
And then why are you telling me?
Because you're the most important thing in my life. Because you've brought me 10 years of happiness, 10 years of success, 10 years of a perfect life. I'm telling you because I love you.
Here's a question.
Yes.
Stupid question.
Yes.
She obviously probably knew what was coming. Mm-hmm. Who's to say that she couldn't just say, whatever it is, don't say it. Just whatever you're thinking about telling me.
Free will. It's the free will. It's like the harbinger.
Yeah, maybe don't do it. Maybe it's intent. Maybe it's like once he's come down that road where he's about to start telling the story.
The thing is, it isn't even a loophole for telling the thing that it's not supposed to talk about, even unknowingly. So technically that loop was closed. Nobody outside knew. It could have been like, you're right, you get a fucking mulligan on this.
Yeah. No, the mens rea to spill the beans was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. It's like, no loophole. Santa doesn't give any breaks on this shit.
You promised you'd never tell!
such a selfless thing. It's like, listen, I, you know, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. The only thing that I haven't given you is the truth.
I don't want to keep any secrets from you.
Yeah, and, you know, yeah. He's trying to be the perfect husband.
Yeah.
So all the chicks are like, oh, he's so sweet. But you done fucked up, boy.
Yeah.
You done fucked
up. All the lesbians keep secrets from your wife.
Shut. Yeah.
You broke your promise, you idiot. I love you.
It sounds so silly, but she calls him an idiot. Like, it's almost like she's so... She has to transform and go back to the scene of his future, and she's also so fucking disappointed in him.
Yeah.
Carla, please stop it. Just change back.
Well, that transformation may be one of the best I've seen.
Oh, yeah.
I love the way the skin tears as
at her elbows.
Yeah. And he's pleading with her. And, like, just stop. Gloves. Stop doing that. She's like, it's done.
I can't stop this. But the one I liked is when she had, like, some face prosthetics on it. Yeah. But then, like, the head went down, but then the way that they just transitioned pulling the hair off, like, that was well done.
That was a good... If anything reminds me of the thing was her ripping the back of her head open.
Right.
That was very much the thing.
And the claws look cool too, the way the claws protrude.
Oh, yeah, like the like, oh, that's some like fucked up Wolverine shit going on there.
Can't be! No!
He broke his agreement, but he broke it by doing what you should be doing in a healthy relationship, which is telling your partner everything that you have to tell.
How about telling the truth about your friend that was murdered?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the. Having a relationship for 10 years with the woman who murdered your friend, you know.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's like, wait, why'd you kill?
Yeah. And there's all a question flashing in like 30 seconds.
Right before you kill me, why did you kill my friend? You fucking bitch! I want a divorce.
And then suddenly, it's, I did not kill him. I did not.
This is bullshit.
Bullshit.
Oh, God.
Oh hi, Ma.
Oh hi, Ma.
Carla, I loved you. And I loved you too. You broke your vow, and that sealed our destiny.
Because it wasn't just like, oh, just you're dead, and then drop, like, actually put a hand underneath, like, you know, just the way that it was handled. You know, put the rings around, pulled him in, you know, just basically said I loved you too, but, you know, and just...
You fucked us both.
Yep, and then just dropped it down, and yeah, it just... Yeah, it did.
It's touching.
Yeah.
In a monstrous kind of way.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, like she, it.
Yes.
Retained all of her love and memories even after transforming back into this thing. You know, yeah, I loved you, but you done fucked up, boy.
Yep.
And now I have to kill you.
My goodness, you really did keep the best one for last, didn't you?
No. I saved the really, really best story for now.
Well, you should have told me the really, really best story before, because now it's too late.
And, of course, you got the bookend at the end where the kid doesn't... I'm sorry, Brian, you got reneged on the child endangerment. It didn't
fall
through.
You lied to me.
Sorry. Deborah Harry does not get to eat
that
child.
No, technically the child was in danger
from the beginning.
Wow.
So there you go. He knows.
But then
he outsmarts her.
He had a whole bunch of fucking marbles in his pocket, and he threw them on the floor, and she slipped.
It's like the never-ending story ending, where he gets to write the narrative.
Timmy saw his chance to escape. If he could just reach the keys.
I love the fact that she's got an oven big enough to shove a child into. It's just this fucking cavern of an oven.
Love happy endings.
So let's score it. Nude, please.
I really like this one. It's been the last couple of movies we've reviewed I have not been a fan of, but I really like this one.
Ooh.
8.
Eight, yes, good score. We're back on track for good scores.
Of course I'm going to a lot of trouble for a dinner party. I always go to a lot of trouble for a dinner party.
Neek.
I really liked the last segment, but that's actually the only part of it, because I think I've seen it before, but that's the only segment I remember.
The only one you do remember?
The only one I do remember is the last one. The first one, yeah, I agree. Like, it had like some really good actors in it, but it was really hokey. Yeah, the cat one, like, some of the things I liked, but it literally just felt like Home Alone with a kitty cat. Like, it was... they reincarnated Macaulay Culkin as a cat and set it after the cabbie from Scrooge, but... So I'm gonna give it a 7.
7?
Yeah.
7's a good score.
I was just thinking of this guy I know. Couldn't distinguish a Third Dynasty sacred scroll from a piece of post-Alexandrine pictogram porn.
Brian Stewart.
This shouldn't happen very often, I don't think, but I'm going to score it a 7, too.
What the fuck is going on
today? That's 2 in a row, motherfucker.
Oh, my God.
What is going on?
That was my score. It's fun. It gets a bit too hokey for me. Unfortunately, the tone of the film for me feels a bit dated. I don't think it survived very well to the modern.
I mean, it is almost 30 years
old.
It is
27
years
old.
Yeah.
And for me, it felt more like I say, episodes of a TV show. It didn't have a cinematic punch to me. It felt kind of watered down a bit for a movie. But that doesn't mean I didn't enjoy it. I like the performances. I like seeing prominent actors, you know, were in budding roles before they became big. And I like Steve Buscemi. I love William Hickey. I think he's great. I think he's been, I've liked him in everything he's done. And he's great in this. I think he has probably the best performance in the movie for me. I just really enjoyed it. And the final segment, heart-wrenching, great makeup effects. I just wish it wasn't so obvious. Like, there was no surprises in the movie, with one exception, how the hitman got killed by the cat. I did not see that happening.
You're done for, you fuck. The rest of your 9 lives are going in one lump sum.
And Nefarious Paul B?
7.5.
7.5.
I'm going to split the difference between the three parties here. My least favorite, I think, would be the first one with Steve Buscemi and all the rest of them.
Right.
But, no, good solid 7.5. It's a fun film. Very fun film.
You deserve everything I can give you. And the only thing I've never given you is the truth about what happened the night we met.
I will give it a 7.5 as well. I think it's... I'm a sucker for anthology films. So you got Miracles from Day of the Dead. You got two George Romero films playing in the background of two of the segments.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a big mark. You know what I'm saying? But to watch the film, you say, yes, I think you're absolutely right. It's got the heart. It's got the effort. It's got the talent. It was definitely worth a Creepshow 3. Absolutely.
Don't worry, Andy. You'll never see me again. But I'll find a way to keep in touch.
And there it is, folks. The threequel year has concluded. We hope you enjoyed how we closed it up with Tales from the Dark Side, the movie, directed by John Harrison, who also composed the score for the first Creepshow film, Day of the Dead, and many segments of the Dark Side television show. It stars Christian Slater, Steve Buscemi, Julianne Moore, William Hickey, James Rebar, Ray Don Chong, a lot of star power in this film from the early 90s. This was the real Creepshow 3, and definitely worth your time if you've never seen it. We had lots of fun with the Horror 101 threequel theme this year. We hope you have too. For the world-famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, the nefarious Paul B., and my wife, the lovely Nude, this is Cash Wampum saying thanks for listening. We hope you had a Merry Christmas, and we'll have a fantastic new year. Until next time.
And that'll be the theme for next year. Movies that we fucking hate.
Can we do that? I'm not kidding. I have a list. I have a fucking list. And it's going to start with the remake of Fright Night.